This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
And welcome to 7-5 Radio. I'm Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew. How are we doing today, my friend?
Not too bad. Getting over a chest cold. But I've survived again. I hit 60 and got a freaking chest cold. So what does that tell you?
Wow.
I'd
like to see
what... Flu medicine? NyQuil, DayQuil, EQuil? You name it, I got a quill in me.
Okay, outstanding. Well, thankfully you're still with us and live and kicking. But anyways, Walt, as you know, first thing we do on 7-5 Radio is to remember fallen officers. And today is going to be no different. Now, hearing 10-13 officer down or signal 3 officer down is the last thing any law enforcement officer wants to hear, ever.
Absolutely.
But on Saturday, December 20th, 2014, police officers, now detectives, Wen Xian Liu and Rafael Ramos were executed by one Ismail Brinsley. Our thoughts and prayers and condolences are still with the families of these detectives, as well as the New York City Police Department and the City of New York. To understand why this tragedy occurred, we must look back to the beginning. Not when the December of 2014, but back in the start of the Obama administration. The Cambridge, Massachusetts Police Department arrested Harvard professor Henry Louis Gates, and who was a friend of the president, and Obama said the police, quote, acted stupidly, unquote. And the government hatred of the police has began. In August 2014, Ferguson, Missouri police officer Darren Wilson shoots 18-year-old Michael Brown in self-defense. And the hands up, don't shoot lie, and the Black Lives Matter terrorist organization is born. In New York, Bill de Blasio shows his hatred for his police department by telling the media that he told his biracial son that he could be harmed by a police officer if he makes any sudden moves and needs to be careful because of the color of his skin. Now, the entire de Blasio family gets around-the-clock protection from the NYPD, and in early December 2014, there's a march in the street of New York with protesters chanting, "What do we want? Dead cops. What do we want them? Now."
Mm-hmm.
Now, on Saturday the 20th of December, Detectives Lou and Ramos are taking a personal in their RMP, or police car, on a cold Saturday afternoon. Detectives Lou and Ramos were working overtime instead of enjoying their time with families before Christmas. But both of them had families, and Walter, we both know, they both needed the money. Now, Ismail Brinsley shot his girlfriend in Baltimore County, Maryland, and decided he was to become a martyr. He posted on social media that he was going to, quote, put some wings on some pigs, unquote, and he was upset over the decision not to indict the cops in Ferguson or Staten Island who applied a chokehold on a morbidly obese and sickly Eric Gardner, who was resisting arrest. Brinsley walked up to the RMP outside the housing project the officers were parked at and opened fire. He then ran to a subway station and thankfully took his own life. Now, at this point, New York's finest had enough. At Woodlaw Hall Hospital, where they brought Lou and Ramos, the police officers holding vigil for the brother officers turned their backs when Mayor de Blasio arrived. And they did it once again at the funerals of Lou and Ramos. But this time they weren't alone, as thousands of other officers from outside agencies also turned their back in solidarity when Mayor de Blasio gave the eulogy. Now enter Liberty News Radio. Now, I was sitting in my car outside a supermarket texting with Sean Berg when I found out, and I was shocked. I called him to get the details. He told me that he was going to go to the scene, and if we wanted him on the air, great. If not, he was still going to the hospital. And I had to act fast. I then started texting James Edwards furiously. I told him we need to get this out ASAP. His initial response was, well, you and Sean can talk about it last segment at the last hour. And I was not happy. I said, dude, this story is going to be huge. James texted me back that it was our Christmas show. He had a go through a whole bunch of crap, who gives a hoot articles that nobody listens to, play Christmas music, the Christmas wish, so on and so forth. I then called Sam Bushman and told him what was going on. He convinced James to lead with the shooting of Lou and Ramos. And it was one of the toughest shows that we did. And we were one of the very few outlets outside of New York media to report the story. And we had an exclusive. And we still were not finished. The next Saturday, we had boots on the ground at two different locations at Glendale Avenue for the funeral of Detective Lou. And again, we need to thank Sean Bergen and Matt the Copperhead for covering the funeral. After our heroes were laid to rest, some amazing things happened. Mrs. Ramos started a foundation for families of fallen officer, and Detective Lou fathered a child. Doctors told Mrs. Lou in the hospital that they could save his sperm when she wants to have a child. And now she's the proud mother of a little girl. And the Black Lives Movement has faded out, and Ismael Brinsley is all but forgotten. But it's not all good news. Four more members of New York Finest was murdered after Lou and Ramos, Brian Moore, Randolph Holder, Paul Tezulo, and Miosos' Familia, as well as countless others in other agencies around America. Bill de Blasio is still mayor, and he's told his cops don't stop and frisk people, and has been awful in terms of contract negotiations with the PBA. And the media is still playing Monday morning police officer and police incidents. As for Liberty News Radio, I started to read off the names of murdered law enforcement officers. Then God gave us Jim Lancey and helped out with law enforcement issues. I wanted to branch out and start a fourth hour of the political cesspool with heavy emphasis on law enforcement. I started co-hosting with Jim Lancey, calling the show Red 42, which was one of Jim's old unit numbers with the Bridgeport, Connecticut Police Department. And then Walter Yerkew and I started talking, and Jim decided he wanted to no longer do radio, so now we have 7-5 radio with myself and Mr. Yerkew. And on this show, we still have an emphasis for cops and correction officers because the media still dumps all over the cops until there's a funeral. And once the funeral is over, guess what? It's back to dumping on cops. And there are too many fake tough guys in the radio that don't do a thing for our cops. I listen all the time from people like Sean Hannity, Andrew Wilcox, Satellite, so on and so forth. They say that they talk to cops, they have friends who are cops, and they support the cops. It's BS. Because I never heard any of these people talk about 1013 party to raise money, contribute a GoFundMe page for an officer that needs help, or if they ever attended a police officer's funeral. Hell, O.J. Simpson used to host parties at his house for the LAPD for their hard work and sacrifice. O.J. Simpson. Now, I've donated to the Richard Mack GoFundMe page and other charities, but we're going to be right back with memories of Officer Detectives Lou and Ramos on 7-5 Radio.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we're back, 7-5 Radio. This is the 4-year anniversary of losing Detective Lou and Ramos. Just before I was cut off for the break, I was saying that most of these guys on AM radio and Twitter and so on, they say that they support the cops, or have friends who are cops and hang around cops and this, that, and other thing, but they don't. Also, none of them put their money where their mouth is. We have. But we're not going to rest till all of us come home at the end of the shift. Walter, what are your thoughts?
You know, coming home at the end of the shift is really what a cop needs to. That's his main stake in the job. You know, he's got it tough enough going out into the world with the unknown of who's out there. You never know whose path you're going to cross. My thoughts are these days and in the old days are it's us against them, and we have to help when help is asked. It doesn't matter if you saw a guy throw a rock at a cop or beat down a cop or fight a cop. A year later, you see the same guy and he's asking for help. You got to help him. You know, that's part of the hat of a cop's life. That's what you got to wear. That's what you got to do. And it's unfortunate that it's us against them attitude. I gave an interview many years ago First Line of Fire about us against them. These days, as in the old days, police are up against some bad people. It's not like it is on television. You are up against some bad people. The stop, question, and frisk used to work because it was unknown to most of the public until it got around that that's what we were doing. But we pulled many guns off of people that really didn't have the onions that were going to take it out and use it against the police. It was more for their self-protection in the hood. These days, the same thing. They walk around with these guns, but they are some bad people out there. And a lot of white bread America that I refer to just does not realize how tough it is to be a cop. And there are some sad incidents that cops do create issues and do get in trouble for doing the wrong thing. But however, 95% of the police department is trying to get home with the same amount of holes that he went to work with. Too many guns on the streets, not enough political backing, especially in New York City, that we refer to de Blasio. You know, how can you go to work with a good attitude knowing that you're not going to be backed up by a mayor who tells his own mixed son that because of the color of your skin, you can get hurt by a cop? It's unbelievable. The police these days are fighting both political and physical attacks all over the country, all over the world. We had in Dallas a few years ago, it was an ambush.
Right.
The two fellas that we're talking about today, they were ambushed sitting in their police car, totally defenseless. Now, I drove a lot when I was on the job, and I was always moving. I was never really sitting in the same place, you know, for more than a minute or two. I always got the heck on out of there because I remember the scene from the opening scene in Fort Apache, the Bronx with Paul Newman, where two young rookies were just blown to pieces because they were sitting in their car. It's not a trap, but you're vulnerable. Everywhere you go, you're vulnerable. Even when you walk in a footpost, you don't know who's walking behind you. It is so difficult. You have a target. You're a blue target. And it doesn't matter if it's a physical attack. It can be a verbal attack. You could be walking down the street and you get 5-6 people just start screaming at you. You know, cop this, cop that. You killed this one. You shot that one. You kill babies. You kill adults. You kill grannies. You kill grandpas. It's a horrible way to make a living. And no amount of money is going to make it any better. But these police officers, they come in day in and day out, 35,000 strong, come in day in and day out and lay their lives on the line for people that they're going to meet once briefly in the blink of their lifetime. And they're paying dearly for their services, and they're not being recognized by one of the most important people in New York City, which was supposed to be the mayor. And we've commented on this before. Mayor de Blasio, I turn my back on him when he's on TV. I go find do something else because what comes out of that man's mouth is anti-cop. All you got to do is read between the lines.
Right, and you're absolutely correct on that. And going back to Lou and Ramos, like I said before in previous episodes here on 75 Radio, Red 42 and the Political Cesspool, you know, the politicians, including President Obama, Mayor de Blasio, Governor Cuomo, all these other armchair CCRB people, they had a ham in just trashing the cops. Also, the media. It was all day, every day, all Ferguson, all the time. And then the situation with Eric Garner happened, and it was all Ferguson, all Staten Island all the time. But what the media did not report was Staten Island is part of the city of New York. You thought Staten Island was a separate city because it was predominantly white, predominantly middle and upper middle class. And Bill de Blasio does not go to Staten Island. So it was like the Staten Island Police Department choked out Eric Garner when in fact it was the New York City Police Department. And so, you know, and it's nothing's changed today. Another thing I want to do is remember three more officers, police officer Conrad Gary of Chicago PD, end of watch December 17th, 2018, and police officer Eduardo Morelejo of the Chicago, Illinois Police Department, end of watch December the 17th, 2018. These two officers were struck and killed by a commuter train chasing after a perp. Fortunately, the perp was caught and arrested, but he's still breathing. But, you know, just I always say, you know, we statistics say that cops in police cars get killed more than cops murdered, but these two were hit by a train. Also, we need to recognize Edgar Flores of the DeKalb County, Georgia Police Department, end of watch, December the 13th. His killer is DOA, thankfully. But and today is Officer Gary's funeral. And now once Officer Gary is laid to rest, the media will go back trashing the Chicago PD in Chicago. And there's nothing you know, there's barely a blip about the deaths of these officers, even though it's, you know, murder of actually the death of two law enforcement officers, number one. Number two, the way they were killed, they were struck and killed by a train. But again, nothing from the media, nothing from, of course, the politicians will go up and say their words and, you know, pay their respects. And, you know, it's the same old, same old. But thankfully, we do have Donald Trump. Another thing, Walter, in the 7-5 movie, you, Mike, and were talking about the death of a transit officer who was working a special detail. And then Joe Hall, he had some unkind words for you guys. But I noticed, you know, you and Mike and the rest of the guys are real tough guys. Don't take no BS from nobody. But, you know, Hall had some that kind of words like, well, we're supposed to, what, they, you know, they feel sorry because the cop died in line of duty, you know, two of these guys. What's your opinion of Hall's statement in that movie?
Well, you know, Joe Hall was a detective up in the RIP unit, and he was all around police the precinct all the time, doing all kinds of things. You know, RIP means they do everything. And okay, we're going to take a break, and we're going to get back to Joe Hall's comments about Officer Venable's death and my involvement and Michael Dowd's involvement in trying to secure his life. We'll be right back. 7-5 Radio.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we're back with 7-5 Radio, talking about the murder of detectives Lou and Ramos on December 20th, 2014. Go ahead. Before we interrupted, you were talking about Joe Hall in the RIP unit and him ripping you and Mike out. Please go ahead.
Yep. In our documentary, there was a segment on a 1013 officer down, which was Transit Police Officer Robert Venable. It's a day I'll never forget. I believe it was September 22nd, 1987. It was just, you know, your normal patrol night. And the thing you hate to hear is what we talked about a little while ago. You know, it's 1013. A cop actually screaming for his life on the radio that they were being shot at on Pickin Avenue. And it was my sector, and we flew up there, my partner and I, and by the time we got there, there were already other cars on the scene, and it was just chaos. However, I think everybody knows what that story is that has watched 7-5. Officer Venable was shot in the head, and he was thrown into Mike Dowd and Kenny Urell's radio car, and we all took off for Brookdale to try and save this guy's life. However, the remarks that Detective Joe Hall made in the movie about Michael and insinuating to the rest of us that, you know, we weren't real cops at the time because, you know, our fingernails were dirty, and our fingernails were dirty. But that didn't take away from the adrenaline that was going through our veins to help our fellow officer. We did not think twice about getting him in that radio car and getting him off to the hospital. There wasn't anything anybody could do. He was pretty much brain dead at the time. Although his body just didn't stop breathing, or his heart didn't stop beating. People have called me because I got a little emotional in that documentary. They called it Crocodile Tears. You can call it whatever it was. You know, my emotions were real. And it was sad, you know, on both hands, on both accounts, that, you know, the officer lost his life. He was a brother officer. And I was disgracing the badge, you know, after hours. However, Joe Hall's remarks that we didn't do anything, or it was something that was just done for show to help save this officer by Joe Hall. You know, the guy was a little, you know, I could get into him being a little worm and a little smart guy, but that was uncalled for. That was put in the movie, I guess, for dramatics, you know, on how people thought of us afterwards, after the fact. But, you know, seeing a cop, losing a cop, I've been to too many funerals when I was on the job about with dead police officers, whether it was murdered by somebody in the street or they took their own life. And that's another part of police life that people don't look into much is cop committing suicide. And maybe we'll discuss that later or another broadcast. But Joe Hall's comments were totally inappropriate. I think he was jumping on a bandwagon of haters of, you know, cops like myself and Michael and Chicky and so forth. So my comments to Joe Hall would be, you know, what did you do in your career, you coward? Because he said once that he was watching somebody and they pulled out guns and he ran away. So, you know, you could pretty much go for a take on what he was about.
Well, his version was he was him and the DA were staking out a hot spot. For obvious reasons, Joe had, Joe had to clear some, cases of some bodies, and the DEA is looking for dope on the dopes. So supposedly the trunk of the Chevelle popped up, and I can't remember the street sweeper, which is almost like a semi-automatic shotgun, some other weapons, and he hightailed it back to the house. That's his version.
You know, that's his version. I mean, you're inside of a van. You got cameras outside. You got these little crappy TVs that you can look at that are snowy at best. You know, you can see the surveillance tapes that they had from other jobs on Picciotti's restaurant. And, you know, they're in the van, and his idea was to get out of the van. So how does he see all this hardware coming out, the street sweeper and whatever? You know, somebody fired one or two shots at them. He saw it coming, and he got the hell out of there. But, you know, to put yourself in such a place where you've got a five-shot detective special, and the other guy's got a nine-shot, 9mm. You know, you're there with 14 bullets. Are you stupid? Are you stupid?
Yeah, why?
What?
Why?
And then you run.
Why would? Right. Why,
we're not chasing them.
If he's doing,
we're not chasing them. They're chasing us. Dumbass.
if you're a place with such dangerous criminals with such a large amount of weapons and ammunition, why are you going there with like your pistols? Yeah. But that you can say that for another time. But anyways, well, let's change gears a little bit. Government's supposed to shut down Friday, or the government is shut down. We're taping this Friday morning because Donald Trump wants a border wall. And it's been really interesting because at first Trump was going to just sign this spending bill, and then thankfully people on Twitter and people talkers on AM radio just gave him business. So he said, "All right, no money for the border, no government." So people are just peeing their pants. The House did approve a spending bill with money for a wall, thankfully. But the Senate has yet to vote on it. The senators already flew back home for the Christmas break, so it's going to be an interesting time. So by the time of broadcast, the government might be shut down, or hopefully we have a wall. Now, if the government shuts down, I really don't care. People around here will just get a paid vacation. But what's
exactly
funny is that, right, what's funny, a couple of days ago, Wolf Blitzer had the a spokesperson from the White House, I forgot the guy's name, but he's the one that got the chia pet hair. He's got a receding hairline, and then he decided to put something on top of his hair. It just looked like something my dog would create. But what's funny, what blew me away was Wolf Blitzer told this guy that Democrats are for border security. I was like, wow. I tweeted, this is why we call the media fake news, and why people at Trump rallies scream at the top of the lungs, CNN sucks. Not to be outdone, a triple amputee Air Force veteran named Brian Colfage, I hope I'm saying that right, he started a GoFundMe page to fund the border wall. And in about 4 days, he raised over $11 million. And there's zero media coverage on it, but luckily it's all over Twitter. Nobody's watching CNN and MSNBC and, you know, the local 6 o'clock news. But this guy he's taking matters in his own hand because our government doesn't want a wall. Even the Republicans don't want a wall because people like the Koch brothers, they want these people coming in so they can work at slave wages. So as these people come in working for next to nothing, working on the table, they're living 3, 4, 5 in a house that's only zoned for one. Sending the kids to school, the school districts don't realize like, how can we have all these kids and not enough tax revenue? So my school taxes go up, while your school taxes go up, and then these people get sick for whatever ailment, so they go to the emergency room. And they don't have any insurance, and they can't pay, so that's on Medicaid. So we pay for that, and the waiting room takes hours to go in because these people who shouldn't be here get their health care is being paid by Medicaid because they don't have a health plan. So, I mean, we all pay for it in the end, but, you know, the Koch brothers and other big businesses, they get to pay next to nothing for these people to do this backbreaking work. But anyways, this Brian Colfage, take a look, go to GoFundMe, put a border wall, and it's amazing. $11 million in 4 days, and he says he's giving the money directly to Homeland Security, and it's got to be, and he's getting a lawyer to make sure that it's going for building a wall, not for just, you know, the general fund. So that's So you have high hopes for that. Also, I was flipping around the channels one late evening, and I found something interesting. This unknown, unfunny comic named Samantha Bee dedicated a whole show for the abolition of ICE. I was like, what? And is this whole thing just bashing ICE and bashing people who want strong borders? But when we get back, we'll talk about Samantha Bee bashing ICE and whatever else is on Walt's mind. This is 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walt and Scoop.
And we're back at 7-5 Radio. Talk about the unfunny, unpopular, unknown Samantha Bee, who decided to bash ICE for doing their job and giving sympathy to these people who should not be here. So what I did, I first tweet to her, said, Samantha, nobody's watching you or your show, not even the people you're trying to gain sympathy and support for. And then I ended every tweet with the name of a victim, a murder victim of an illegal alien. So, of course, nobody decided to tweet me back because, I'm right and they're wrong.
It was getting real.
Yep.
You know, you can see she can sit up and, you know, in her little TV studio and say all this nonsense and spew out all this garbage, you know, and, you know, she's worried about our border down there in the South, and she's Canadian. You know, go figure. You know, some of these people that from other countries that are criticizing what we do here in our country just need to go back to where they came from. You know, and that includes one of the Osborne girls. What's her name? The one who came out with that album.
Kelly.
Stupid. Yeah. you know. Nah, you know, I'm a big fan. I like Ozzy. You know, Ozzy's right. You know, cool dude. But, you know, she's talking about our border control and the way our politics are, man. It's none of your damn business. You know, go back and fix Brexit if you got a problem. You know, and the Canadian chick, this Samantha Bee, she had a show on, I don't know, a year or two ago, I guess, and now it's in, like, reruns or something, syndications.
It's on TBS, but it was very not funny, very anti... Well, it was pro-immigrant, anti-American. I also asked her how many of these immigrants she could bring in her house. No response. And I said, I definitely could tell you don't live in the 10,000 block of Central Avenue in the city of Los Angeles. And no response. But anyways, one other quick note. General James Mad Dog Mattis is resigning as Secretary of Defense. What I noticed is that as soon as Trump says he's going to pull out of Syria, pull out. Of Afghanistan, General Mattis turned over his resignation. I say good, because here's the thing. We have no interest in Syria. We have no interest in Afghanistan. You know, we got Osama bin Laden. We decimated ISIS. Al-Qaeda's not popping up anywhere. And, you know, let's bring our troops home. Let's stop being the world's policeman. Let's put these boys home and put them on the border. So, you know, I'm glad Trump's pulling out, because right now the U.S. is one of the largest exporters of energies on the planet. And I don't know about you, Walt, but the price of gasoline has been dropping real nice. What say you?
Down here in the Middle South, the lowest I've seen it so far is $1.78.
And, wow.
You know, of course, you know, I stopped and filled up. You know, it's nice to... You know, put $26 of gas in your tank and it's full.
Right.
$1.78 is probably not the cheapest in the country, but, you know, the average right here in Tennessee is below $2 a gallon. You know, you're looking at a lot of $1.80s, $1.90, $1.99, $2.10, something like that. But, it's dropped. I don't know what it is over by you and your rich neighborhood there in D.C., but we, you know, we're benefiting from it a little bit.
Right, it's $2.20, $2.30 now. Fairfax County, Virginia, they have some of the highest gases around. It seems like the most expensive is D.C. Then the next county over, either Montgomery County, Arlington County, is expensive. Then the next county over, it's a little bit cheaper. But I go fill up Loudoun County, which is next to Fairfax County, or Prince William County, which is where I live. It's about $2.20. The other day I used my points from one of the local supermarkets, and it was under $1, under $2, and I was jumping for joy. And you know, we have Donald Trump to thank now, because he signed the Keystone Energy Pipeline deal. He brought coal back, did some other things of the Department of Energy, so we can we can start drilling and get the energy out and put it on the open market. So as you have a glut of energy resources, the price is going to drop. Now, what we got to do next is build a new refinery, because we haven't built a new oil refinery since 1976. Now, granted, over time, they upgraded, updated with technology, things like that. But hopefully they build some refineries and get the price of gas even lower. What else is on your mind? We got a couple minutes left.
You know, not too much is on my mind. We take this opportunity and wish everybody a safe and happy holiday. Merry Christmas to all the Christians out there and all the people that believe in Christmas and that are religious. There's a few people out there that pretty much shut their doors and shut their lights because they're agnostics and don't believe in celebrating a holiday of somebody that they don't think existed. But we here at the Yerky household, we celebrate Christmas. We have a decent sized dinner, and you know, I put up a tree, and we do you know, we do the exchange of gifts all day long. People are in and out, so I'm looking forward to it. And I just want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. You got them two young kids that that you adore so much, and we. You know, I don't expect you to be taking them to Chuck E. Cheese on Christmas Eve. You'll probably have takeout, but you, I know you'll celebrate. And God bless you and your family and our family at Liberty News Radio and all those people down there that help us with broadcasting our show. And they do a great job. They do, Mr. Bushman. We have James Edwards that backs us up. A lot, and I'm very proud to be part of their family.
Right. For my Christmas, I'll be working that night, of course, but be getting that overtime because I need every nickel I can get. My kids have been bouncing off the walls for the entire month, and they have a 2-week winter break. Now, I was kicking my heels when I was a youngster when I had like 9-10 days because you know, where New Year's Day landed, but 2 full weeks yeah. of Christmas break, which is ridiculous. On top of that, the kids get every other federal holiday off, and the teacher work day and all this other stuff, or you know, early release. It's always on a Friday or Monday, but enough about that. But also, well, I too want to wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone at Liberty News Radio and all of our friends we met through Liberty News Radio. Also, our listeners, because I know we got public safety people, first responders. They'll be sitting in the firehouse, sitting in the RMP, sitting somewhere. You're having Christmas dinner on the dashboard or in the firehouse or the hospital or the jail or whatever. You know, wish them a very Merry Christmas. And we say Merry Christmas around here. Because there's nothing wrong with the ideas of exchanging gifts, giving goodwill to men, you know, everything else that goes around with Christmas. I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But, you know, but thank God. Another good thing about Trump is that he brought Christmas back. So we want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, a safe and healthy New Year. We will be back in 2019 as soon as I get return these redeem these cans for a nickel apiece. And we'll have I guess next week we'll have an end of the year show for 9 months of radio. 2019 will give us more material for radio. You have about 12, 13, 14 people running for the Democratic nomination, including supposedly Joe Biden. So my mother-in-law says, oh, I read Joe Biden's book. It looks really good. So I pulled up my phone and said, well, his nickname is Cobra. Within the Secret Service, when he decides to go swimming nude, either at the vice president's residence or his house up in Delaware, and he likes to do it in front of female Secret Service agents. And not to mention all the pictures of creepy Uncle Joe, of him groping and touching females very inappropriately.
Oh, yeah, smooching on little kids and touching, you know, from behind. He'd be standing behind, you know, three people back from Obama giving a speech and have his hand on some poor woman's shoulder, rubbing it. Oh, God, man, it's disgusting.
And there's a Christmas picture of in front of a Christmas tree, and he has his hands on the lady woman's breasts. And my mother-in-law says, "Oh, so big deal." I'm like, "Okay, whatever," you know. And he's been in politics all his life. He never had a real job. You know, they call him Old Lunch Bucket Joe. But you know, he went to school, got his law degree, went into politics. You know, that's his life story. And he ran for president a bunch of times. And then he's got hair plugs. So I can't wait for him. And then Hillary's going to be coming back, and I'm sure Gary Byrne will come out with the second book.
Unbelievable.
I'm,
you know, the Democrats.
Yep. But anyways, this is the last show before Christmas. Yeah. So anyways, everybody from Liberty News Radio, for Walter Yerkew, for myself, we want to wish everybody a safe and merry Christmas. Take away, James Edwards.
James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.